We want to welcome everyone to the first episode of the Development Debate Podcast. And I got to tell you, you know you're doing something right when your 12-year-old son says, "Dad, I think it's really cool that you have a podcast."
That is awesome. Wow.
He then asked if he could be on the show, and I told him no. But I'm Dave Robinson. I'm here with my partner in crime, Nate Green, and we are business partners in a consulting company called the Montrose Group. We provide national economic development consulting. Nate and I have been in the economic development business a long time. I'm older than him. He's going to bring that up.
I won't talk about it. I mean, maybe a little bit. I don't know. We'll see.
I thought I would get that out to start. I got into economic development formally in the 1990s, working for the telephone company, working for Ameritech. I've worked at the State Chamber of Commerce right out of law school, the mayor of Columbus. Economic development at Ameritech, was fortunate to serve in the Ohio House of Representatives. Worked at two big law firms before 11 years ago, saying, "Hey, let's just go do this thing on my own." Nate joined the firm, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. It kind of feels like 15 or 20. It's kind of working.
It's been a long time, Dave. It's been a long time. So my name is Nate Green. I am a partner in the Montrose Group and the director of economic development. I've been in economic development since 1999. For the first 14, 15, I was in public sector economic development. I started with the Ohio Department of Development. I was a business development representative there, so I worked with businesses around the state on tax credits and loans and grants. Left there, I went up to Cleveland and worked for the Port Authority in Cleveland doing finance deals. We did lease deals and bond fund deals. I came back to Central Ohio, and I was the economic development director for Circleville and Pickaway County, county just south of Columbus. I had the pleasure or the luck of going back to the state, and I was the director of the Strategic Business Investment Division at the Ohio Department of Development, which was the division that I worked in when I was earlier in my career. Then I went over and helped start Jobs Ohio, the private sector economic development group for the state. Left there to go into investment banking, which I was not all that fond of. And so Dave gave me the opportunity.
It's because they never let you in the safe.
You
never got the combination of the money, or you would have loved it.
It would have been a whole different thing. So now, for the last 18 years, I mean 5.5 years, working at the Montrose Group.
Oh, Lord, this is going to be fun. We're really doing this podcast to try and stir the pot a little bit on economic development issues. And with this first one, we're going to really try and, discuss some big questions. We want to discuss what's economic development, who's engaged in it, how is it implemented, where should we focus economic development, why does it matter, and most importantly, why should anyone listen to what we have to say? We have always defined that as the creation of high-wage jobs and capital investment. We've always so distinguished it from real estate development and community development. And there's nothing wrong with real estate development and community development. They all run together. Real estate development, from our standpoint, is really about making investments in a piece of property that increase its value. It's really, at the end of the day, all about a piece of land or a site and coming up with its highest and best use. Community development's about equality. It's about access to economic prosperity. Again, a very critical issue. Not so much, we're gonna talk a little bit about it, but we're gonna focus a little bit more on how do you really retain, attract those high wage jobs that really turn into the economic driver. They are the jobs that fund the schools and fund all the social service agencies that we want to really try and keep in there. Economic development, for the most part, is played at the local or state level. Again, the federal government is clearly a part of it. I hate to use the term minor player. Because again, you look at what's going on in the marketplace now with COVID-19 and multiple federal stimulus packages and literally trillions of dollars flowing out of Washington, to individuals, to companies, to healthcare institutions, higher ed, you name it. There's there's not an institution that doesn't seem to get some level of support right now with the federal stimulus. So obviously, the federal government is a big player. Federal government's a huge player, even in non-crazy stimulus times or COVID-19 times. If you look at federal labor policy, federal tax policy, federal trade policy, energy policy that can have a major impact on the cost of energy, transportation and infrastructure funding, broadband, telecommunications. I mean, the reality is the federal government, from a public policy standpoint, plays a very large role in so many economic development issues.
And I think that's an important distinction. The federal government isn't going out doing business retention and expansion business. They aren't necessarily trying to attract new investment to the country or to the local places. Sometimes they are, but by and large, they aren't. I think the biggest role, as you said, that they play in economic development is that they provide funding for infrastructure. Now, they've also provided a lot of support during the COVID-19 pandemic, but that's a whole separate topic. But I think economic development, it's led at the state, regional, and local levels by smaller governments. It's led by cities. It's led by counties. It's sometimes led by townships. And the reason for that is they have they can have the largest impact on those projects, winning or losing, where the federal government, doesn't. They want, GDP to grow in the United States, but they aren't gonna necessarily have a hand in impacting where that goes.
When you look at the use of economic development tools, and I'm going to use the word tax incentives. Now, I would tell you, we love tax incentives.
Hey, Dave, let's be fair. It's just not tax incentives. We love all economic development incentives.
We love all economic development incentives.
And we love tax incentives. We love grants. We love loans.
If we could send economic development incentives as a Christmas present, we would.
So almost as good as bourbon.
And we'll, oh, Nate, it's only Monday.
Yeah,
And we'll explain why a little later. But the reality is those tools have tended to be used at the local governments, at the state governments. All 50 states have a wide array of economic development incentives. We just created a 50 state economic development analysis that we have on our website that kind of basically goes through 300 plus economic development center programs all over the US. So every state has them. The other phenomenon that's out there is you have a lot of multi-county private sector economic development groups that are very engaged in primarily economic development attraction, but also some retention efforts as well. And with our corporate site location work, we've been fortunate to work with a lot of great of these regional economic development groups in Columbus and Kansas City and Phoenix and Des Moines and just a number of other places just in the past couple of years. So those groups, while they are very far away from public policy and quite frankly, most of the time don't have anything to do with public policy, they are very engaged in the world of gaining companies. So how do we do this? We already mentioned the some magic words here of retention, expansion, and attraction. And I hate acronyms. I would tell you it's based upon my 5 years at the telephone company, because I would sit in meetings with engineers and not understand half of what they said.
That's just because Dave didn't they give you a sheet at some point and they said, here are the 100 acronyms you need to know? I mean, I got that when I started in economic development. My finance training in NDC.
They put me through a 3-day course on how the telephone system works. And it was, well, Nate, as I've told you before, I'm a political science major. I'm not a real science major. So some of those high-level engineering things, they're a little challenging for me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Really, economic development, the how you do it, at the end of the day, is about business retention and expansion. 80% of new jobs come from existing companies. And I'll give you a great example here, in the Buckeye State, that Jobs Ohio, which is probably the most well-funded state economic development organization in the nation, based upon their analysis that 83% of their money, 83% of their support for economic development projects went to existing Ohio companies. So job one in economic development is business retention. It's talking to the companies you have.
That's one of the reasons that the federal government doesn't play as big a role as state and local governments, because, you know, they're there with the businesses every day. They're in the same community. So, you know, business and the BR&E is a big focus, you know, and it's because they're there living with them every day and they can help them the best.
Absolutely. So, but what that creates, quite frankly, is 50 state competitors and hundreds of regional and municipal competitors. Mm-hmm. And that is really, we think it's a good thing. We believe that that economic competition between the cities and the states is just as important as you have economic competition between companies.
What economic development does and what the capitalist system does is it creates those new opportunities. You know, out of that competition, you get more entrepreneurs, you get more tech startups. If you think about, you know, 15 years ago, Dave, when you were doing technology stuff, when you were doing, the Third Frontier, when we put that out, Ohio wasn't in the game for technology. It was all on the coast. And because of that, and we looked at it and we said, we're losing and we can't rely on manufacturing solely. And so the competition for new jobs and for new investment drove us to do Third Frontier. And it's had just incredible results. I mean, the technology that existed today, the technology companies just in Ohio that exist as a result of Third Frontier, but also because we've gotten venture capitalists and some other things in that time. But if it weren't for that competition, we wouldn't have that. We would have just sat on our laurels and thought manufacturing and Walmart were great, and we wouldn't have been driven by new investment and entrepreneurship.
Well, and I would say, you know, that competition, and I'll use technology again, you look at, I'll use venture capital as an example. I mean, we have always been big advocates for regional growth of venture capital, because 50% of the venture capital in the U.S. is in California, mainly in, you know, predominantly in Northern California. You know, you've got some big growth markets like Austin and New York and Boston, but really then everyone else is trying to compete. So the more of that venture capital you can develop, the better you're going to be able to compete to not only grow, but to keep those, you know, keep those companies. So we think that that competition is good. We think that it forces companies as well as regions to compete. Where for economic development? The answer is easy. It's everywhere. You know, we think that whether you're urban, rural, suburban, whether you are surrounded by cornfields, you've got brownfields, you're in a small town, you're in a big city, you've got rich people, you've got poor people, there's an angle for economic development. There's a company that would consider looking at your site. So we're going to discuss, you know, all different potential sites and different opportunities for economic development. Again, different, you know, from a corporate site location standpoint, different users are going to want to go different places for a whole range of reasons. But you know, we talk to a lot of small towns, and we think that there's a great opportunity to kind of transform, you know, sleepy little downtowns into neighborhoods, mm-hmm. where you can use historic preservation tools and help really attract, you know, attract companies that go there. So, again, we really want to stress the discussion isn't just going to be about the phenomenal opportunities for logistics facilities, you know, in today's cornfield, because there's plenty and we do a lot of that work, but there's also a lot of opportunity for that small town. There's a lot of opportunity in our central city. So we want to make sure that, you know, we pitch and encourage folks to think about economic development that's everywhere. And again, Nate's had great experience working in statewide as well as a smaller rural community.
You're right, Dave. Economic development is everywhere. You know, where I worked in Pickaway County, We had economic development that involved small business development. You know, our downtown in Circleville, it's a downtown that has been around since the mid-1800s. And so part of what we did in economic development was figure out how to support those businesses through our small business development center. Now, that was not driven by the economic development group. That was driven by our chamber, but that's a piece of economic development as your partners. And then we also had large sites. We had a brownfield site that is where they used to make picture tubes, where we try to attract manufacturing. We had a site.
Nate, I remember picture tubes. I remember TVs with picture tubes. Just
I
before
remember
you
carrying picture tubes, Dave.
Just before you say you're old enough, you remember picture tubes. Okay, I just thought I would get that out.
No, you're right though. You're right because you know now we got all these flat screen high def things.
Yeah.
The picture tubes were great, and then we had massive development where we had warehouse development going on. Where they put up, it's probably 6 or 7 square feet, 6 or 7 million. Square feet of space. So economic development is everywhere, you know, and it's interesting today, those jobs have been replaced by fulfillment center jobs. They've been replaced by higher end advanced manufacturing jobs in automotive. They've been replaced by jobs in the technology sector. So, you know, that's also, and if it weren't for that competition, if we had not had economic development, we would have not tried to go out and replace that what we lost in the picture tubes with something else.
Right.
We would have just kind of sat around and waited for everything to happen. And,
right.
And so, you know, that competition is real and it's fierce and it's needed.
Completely agree. So, you know, really the last question we'll discuss today is, you know, why would you be spending your valuable time listening to two economic development geeks like Nate and I? And of course, because is always the answer to why. I think I took one philosophy class in college. I didn't like it, but I did learn that because is always the answer to why. Our society, our whole economy is really very dependent on the creation of high-wage jobs. And it's been getting tougher and tougher. You know, we are on the downside of the manufacturing boom of the 1940s and 50s and 60s. And you have a lot of parts of the U.S. that are struggling. You look at the East Coast and you look at the entire, industrial Midwest. They still have a lot of manufacturing companies, but not nearly the number of manufacturing jobs. The percentage has gone from 30% of the U.S. jobs being in manufacturing to under 10%. So it is in our mind, very, very important. And again, you know, the current public health crisis reminds us that there's a lot of other important things out there, and staying safe and being responsible are clearly, very, very important. But the reality is, we need to have a focus on the creation of highway jobs. We need to think about and take public policy steps and focus on the retention and expansion and attraction of companies that are creating these high wage jobs. Folks, they fund everything else. There's no tax base out there without them.
You know, economic development, it's sometimes amorphous. People don't know what it is, but it has an impact on what your community, whether it thrives or not. Economic development has a huge impact on that. It has an impact on whether you based on your policies, whether they be tax policies or regulatory policies, it depends. That dictates whether you get high wage jobs or not. And that's why they should listen. Plus, we're just, you know, so entertaining, Dave.
I was going to mention that I think we're witty and entertaining.
We think we are. Nobody else does.
Probably not. But, we wanted to kind of, for the first show, kind of give you, our kind of version of Economic Development 101. We think it is a critical discussion. We hope folks enjoy it. We hope it stirs some thinking. We hope it stirs some action. And at its core, we're problem solvers, right? You know, that's what good economic development people are. They see a challenge and they figure out solutions. So hopefully you get that sense through listening to this podcast. So Nate, unless you have, you know, anything witty or exciting to add, you know, I would just thank everyone for listening, and we look forward to the discussion coming in the coming weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, everybody. Talk soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Development Debate Podcast. To learn more about the Montrose Group services, please visit montrosegroupllc.com.